fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today we celebrate with great joy 100 years of God's blessings in this congregation and in this community. 100 years may seem like a long time in our minds, but it is a short time in God's. As it is written, "Beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Just think about the many changes that have occurred over this past century. What one could buy for a dollar in 1920 now requires $13. Our congregation was organized on January 18, 1920, which is just 2 days after the prohibition went into effect. 8 months later, the organization that would become known as the National Football League was organized, and the Roaring Twenties were just beginning. In 1920, Ford decided to lower the price of their Model T from $500 to $395, and that year their sales more than doubled to over 900,000 cars. Wood was needed in the construction of the cars and for many of their parts, so that year Ford enlisted a man named Edward Kingsford to obtain land for a sawmill. But then what to do with all those growing leftovers, especially with the exploding sales of the Model T? They decided in that year to turn them into charcoal briquettes, which eventually became known as Kingsford charcoal. In Pittsburgh, the first commercially licensed radio station began broadcasting in 1920. How much has changed since that? In that year, just 35% of American homes had electricity, and the Spanish flu pandemic, which began in 1918, finally came to an end in April of 1920, but it took about 675,000 American lives and perhaps 40 million worldwide. I mention all of this because it does serve as a small sampling of a number of the things that have changed over this last century. And with so many changes, so many advancements in technology, so many changes in people's walk of life, what things of the past should we be holding on to? Should we hold on to a church that has now been around for an entire century? And the question that some wonder, what is the value in hearing of a message of Christ or the cross? Or what is the value of a church anyway in our modern day? Now, in our day, things that are old are often just thrown away. While many families keep some old treasures that they hang on to for generations, many household items, though, get replaced every few decades. And if it breaks, we toss it. If it seems unnecessary, we get rid of it. Our world has established gods that it figures are more comfortable than the true God. Many people love their possessions and their money. People love stimulus checks. They yearn for free health care. And if people can make it without working, then who really needs a God to take care of them? And while Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus chose to visit a very rich man named Zacchaeus, who received Jesus joyfully and announced that he would give half of his goods to the poor and repay fourfold anyone whom he defrauded. So if we want to assume that our secular society, our worldly, money-loving society has no room in their hearts for the true God, we need to remind ourselves of Zacchaeus and his penitence and his receiving Christ with great joy. And then we ought to work all the harder at reaching out to people with this true and saving gospel. Sadly, the trend, though, of staying home instead of going to church is certainly increasing at alarming rates. Should churches then just throw in the towel, accept this type of trend? Or should we simply consider Christianity to be a thing of the past and assume that it offers little relevance to our fast-paced, electronic, entertainment-driven age? Now, if the church were simply a relic of past traditions, then I suppose it would be fine to see those past customs be transformed or melded into some new form of tradition or cultural way. But the church is not just a tradition. It is the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. God himself has established his church, and God builds and maintains local congregations where the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments takes place. It is through this ministry that God delivers his gift of forgiveness of sins. And as you know, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. We are not talking about traditions or religious concepts or philosophy or other nifty matters of thought which engage the curiosity of a small subset of the population. Instead, what Christ has done is truly remarkable. He has founded his church, which proclaims the grace of God in Jesus Christ, which delivers souls from eternal death, grants the forgiveness of sins to sinners, and grants the peace of God to all who believe. When Jesus entered Jericho, that ancient city conquered by the Israelites by marching around the city, there was a crowd following Jesus. This crowd was interested in the preaching of Jesus, the word of salvation, this message of grace, which Jesus always proclaimed wherever he went. Here, the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah was now present among them in the flesh. Here you have the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God in flesh made manifest, walking right there among the people. Jesus was not a crutch for the weak or a concept for the mind or an antiquated religious expression. Instead, Jesus is real. He is the God of God and Lord of lords. And he came for a reason. As we heard in the beginning of our gospel reading, Jesus was passing through Jericho. Yes, he did go to Jericho where he stayed at Zacchaeus' home, but he was passing through. And why is that? Well, Luke reported earlier that Jesus is traveling for a purpose. For Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem. He is making his way to the holy city where that temple stood. In our Old Testament lesson, we heard a marvelous prayer by King Solomon after the temple was constructed and the Ark of the Testimony was brought into that temple. The glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And yet Solomon asked that question, will God indeed dwell on the earth? For Solomon knows that heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain God. It is simply impressive. It is absolutely astounding that the God who made the entire universe, who formed and created all life, would then choose to be present among his people. God placed his name there, and he listened to Solomon's prayer and the prayer of God's people. And to answer Solomon's question that he asked of God, certainly God would dwell on the earth. God was present as the glory of the Lord was present. But then God fulfilled his promise in a very remarkable way in the incarnation of his Son. when Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. Jesus was then raised in Nazareth, and now, as he had traveled many times before, is returning to Jerusalem. Jesus was not going to that city so that he can be impressed by the historical events of our Old Testament lesson, which took place 1,000 years earlier. Jesus is not going to Jerusalem so that he can gaze upon the temple with astonishment over its size and its grandeur. After all, Jesus, as he had already announced, is the temple made without hands, which would be destroyed and raised on the third day. Instead, Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem so that he could ride into that holy city on the donkey as the crowd sang their praises of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to save his people, to be handed over to those who sought his life. He sets his face toward Jerusalem so that he can go to the cross and die, paying for the sins of the entire world, your sins and mine. It is quite clear that we need this forgiveness, for we have loved our possessions more than God. We have not been like Solomon, who served as a great example for prayer in our Old Testament lesson. We have figured that it is fine to avoid God's house, especially as a pandemic is making its way through the world. We have dishonored those in authority by speaking poorly of them. We have hurt other people by our words. We have looked at others with lust. We have been like Zacchaeus and have defrauded others and failed to help the poor. We have gossiped. We have sought out ways of obtaining things that did not belong to us, and doing so in a way that appears to be right before the world. Despite our many sins, look at what God still does. He comes in the flesh, and he comes to save. He actually enters our presence, and he comes into this house of worship, and he is present to bless. It was remarkable that when the Ark of the Testimony arrived at the temple, that the glory of God filled the temple. It was remarkable that Jesus said to Zacchaeus that he is going to stay with Zacchaeus. And it is remarkable that God chooses to still come and dwell among us even today, right now, in this place. In Jericho, Jesus seeks out the man who could not, through his riches, make himself taller. Probably could do many great and amazing things with his riches, but there are still limitations. Zacchaeus had to climb a sycamore tree to see Jesus among the crowd. And Jesus tells Zacchaeus to come down, for he is going to stay at this sinner's home. The crowds were disgusted at this thought. Jesus spending time with this tax-collecting traitor? If they had any excuse to dismiss Jesus as irrelevant to them or even dead to them, this was now their chance. But Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That salvation still comes today to us, and Jesus still seeks and saves the lost. Jesus came to save the tax collector. Jesus came to save the crowd who grumbled at him. Jesus came to save us who were dead in our sins and trespasses by paying for our sins on the cross. He does so as he bears the sins of the world in his body and sheds his innocent blood as the ransom payment in place of sinners. This gift of salvation was treasured by Solomon, who prayed to God saying, "When you hear, forgive." By Zacchaeus, who hurried down the sycamore tree and received Jesus joyfully, and by the saints who dwell with our Lord, who have gone before us. It is right then for people in our modern age to also treasure Christ, his word, and the gifts that he offers. For mankind remains sinners, and Jesus remains the Savior of the nations. So what do we then make of a church that is 100 years old in a world that keeps on changing ever so quickly? We take comfort in knowing that despite the many changes and chances in this life, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that salvation continues to be freely offered by grace to all who believe, that despite all the advances in this world, we remain in need of forgiveness, and Jesus grants it. So our church will continue to do what the church is established to do: comfort sinners with the message of Christ and his cross, direct minds and hearts to Jesus and his dying, bleeding love, pronouncing sinners to be righteous by grace through faith, and preparing sinners to depart this life in peace, for our eyes have seen salvation. These treasures never grow old and never become irrelevant. They can never be replaced with more modern ideas. For God, who created all things, has come in the person of his Son. And like he did for Zacchaeus, Jesus is in our house today, among us sinners, who by faith are now declared righteous in him. We have received salvation through him. So Jesus is no longer a stranger. He is not some sort of ancient concept. By virtue of our baptism, we are adopted into God's family, which means that Jesus is our brother. We are his brothers and sisters, redeemed by his blood and precious in his sight. We pray that God would continue to bless this place and all who gather in this house, that God will listen to the pleas of his people, and when he hears, he will forgive. We must always keep in mind that Satan does not like our church. In fact, he hates it. Satan will not relent his attacks until our Lord returns. And therefore, stand firm, dear saints, on the word of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Remember that you are baptized into God's family, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you possess the treasure of the forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus on the cross. Celebrate this occasion not only with joy but also with fear, so that you draw near to Jesus, so that you rest in his loving arms and you receive his heavenly blessings. So while much has certainly changed over the last century, God's truths have never changed. God's mercies have never come to an end. We need Christ and his church and the message of the cross more now than ever. And so God continue to bless this congregation with the pure proclamation of the word and the proper administration of the sacraments and the presence of Christ and his love. And God bless each and every one of you who have heard the grace of God in Christ Jesus, the saving gospel, and that you now receive that gift of faith to life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.